Hallelujah. Well, thank you for receiving our worship this morning, Lord. Thank you for, as always, honoring your promise where two or more are gathered in your name to meet us. And we're just happy to be here in the assembly of the saints, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Why don't you say something for us?
Can we open the door? Can we open the door? Can I say? That's nice. It was cold in here, and y'all got in here and got cranked up, and now I'm hot. Oh, at 123 pounds and 6 foot, hot ain't something I do very much. Thanks, bro. Somebody put a chain on the door. Well, I am glad to be here, you know, and I was, I've been dealing with a fella going through something I've been through, divorce, credits wrecked, doesn't have hardly a stick of furniture in the house, working like a rented mule, and making ends meet ain't probably going to happen for this guy, and, I've been there, but as is normally the case, I'll just say in my life, normally wherever I am is a path that I chose. And I'm just grateful that I got up this morning and I got food in the pantry and I got my wife in the bed next to me. She's not speaking to me, but she's there. And I got $400 in the bank, which I didn't last week. And, you know, we talk about, you know, delight yourselves in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I know you've heard me say it, but he'll put correct desires within you where it's not a burden to come home and do youth ministry or work that extra shift, not for truck toys, but for shoes for the youngins or whatever they need. It's a joy. It's a joy. He can put correct desires in your heart. And you can find yourself at a point where doing the right thing is a good thing, even in your own heart, within your own emotions, you know, because he didn't call us to just, I mean, this life is, it's promised to be full of tribulation. That is true. But he said he'd be with us in the midst of it. And it's not supposed to be just a total drag to be here. You're going to have your days. You may have your years like I just am coming out of. But God is faithful and God is good. And he does hear the prayers of the saints. And Jesus said, you know, knock and it shall be opened to you. But I've heard it preached that if you look at the construction of those words, it's knock and keep on knocking, you know, ask and keep on asking. And the example he gave, well, they call it the parable of the importunate widow, where the woman had a problem, and she went to the judge, and the judge was just a piece of work. Didn't fear God, didn't care about man, cared about himself, and he knew this to be true. But she kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And he said, you know what? I'm going to avenge this girl of her adversary. Because if I don't, doggone if she's not going to be on my doorstep tomorrow, and I'm sick of it. And in that parable, that is not to say that God is unwilling to answer. But no, in contrast, God is more than willing, right ready to answer in his own time. You know, he's got that big picture view, and you may find yourself going through whatever it is you're going through, and you don't know the outcomes around it. But you can be absolutely confident that he does. And that he does, in fact, hear your prayers. So God bless y'all. And, man, it's really nice for me leading the worship when y'all come in and you get on your feet and raise your voices. And it's really good. So for whatever that's worth, I really appreciate that. Paul?
There you are.
Okay,
all right, come on up, Phil. And we do a little countdown.
Good morning, everybody. This weather has been extremely nice. Extremely nice. I tell you, I'm excited for youth ministry. I'm excited for football season. I'm ready to take a week off in this weather. This is just outstanding. I tell you, praise the Lord. But I tell you, I really enjoyed what Brad had to say this morning. I really did. And, you know, I have to tell you, it seems like it's just been, man, really rough the past week. So as far as work goes, not so much at home and ministry. I enjoy it so much here lately. But, man, I've just been getting my butt whooped. Problem customer. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like going, this can't be possible. Really? There's got to be a stop here at some point. Man alive, there's got to be a break. I guess I get that at 6 o'clock when I punch out. Anyways, it's been trialing for me. It really has been. But, you know, I praise the Lord. He's got me through it anyway, you know. It's been rough. I've been looking forward to this meeting coming up in October. But, you know, Lord brought me right through it anyways. And he's still there. And he still hears me. And, you know, when I didn't even realize it or not, because it was just so much stuff, one after another, he was there. I might not have seen it, but he's faithful. He was there. And it was a praise the Lord. And I can look back on it and see his hand in it all, bringing me through every one of those struggles. There's an outcome. Whether it be good or bad, most of them deliverance, but there's an outcome. And it always worked out. It always worked out. So, the Lord's good. And with that, I'm going to just leave it at that. I look forward to youth ministry this afternoon. Kids, you ready? Yeah! All right. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning once again. You know, we all have one common denominator, and that usually is, we sure deserve better than all this, right?
No. We don't.
We all end up having to look up from that position and finding out that that's just not a position from which you can please the Lord. Because that position presumes that you're better, you're in a better position to receive from the Lord than somebody else is. And, you know, Cain was kind of miffed that Abel got his sacrifice received and he didn't. And he said, you know, I deserve better than this. And what happened?
Murder.
Yeah. That's what happened. And, you know, I find that every time that thing raises its ugly head in me, that it's kind of equivalent to committing murder. What 1 John says is that chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, gee, you know, Abel did the righteous thing, and he was, his sacrifice was received by the Lord, and his reward for that was what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say? What does this say? The world's going to hate you if you're received of the Lord. So, in his case, his brother hated him. And he did his type and shadow. I mean, he ended up giving his life for his brother. And it was kind of one of those easy way or hard ways. I don't guess he really had a whole lot of say in the matter, except that he was just obedient. And, you know, this is not something that we're called to do, that isn't something that Jesus hadn't already done. I mean, he gave his life for all who would receive him, and that sacrifice was for everybody, all the sins of the world, all the sins of the world. And, you know, his reward was he got slain. I mean, you know, his reward for perfect service to the Father was he got slain. Because all those that he was corrupting their system, they didn't like that so much. And they had, you know, this idea that hating your brother is murder goes back to the Beatitudes, you know. That just what, you know, you've heard it said, you commit adultery, pen adultery is a sin. But I say to look on a woman with lust is a sin. You don't have to do it. You just have to want to do it. So, you know, he goes on here, because none of us really can stand that. We, at some point or another, have managed to convince ourselves, and we've inflamed ourselves against a brother or somebody anywhere. You pick it. You pick the place. I deserve better treatment than this. These people are bums. That's a murderous spirit. He says, Whoso hath his the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And here's another one of those little promises that's tagged at the end of that. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. For our good pleasure, we were created. For his good pleasure, we were created. Right? And this is just a... Got to change the attitude. The attitude is everything. Whether it's, I perceive it as good to me or bad for me, is for my profit when my attitude towards him is to please him. And if I receive it with any other kind of spirit, it's a spirit of murder. I'm not any better than anybody else out there. I don't deserve better than anybody, any of y'all. Why do I deserve better than any of y'all? I'm the same douche, dirt bag.
There you go.
Got a edit button on this thing?
Ooh. It's out there,
Bo. Out there. And the truth of the matter is, the only one that deserved better and didn't get it was Jesus. And, you know, this whole theme out of John 15 about abiding. John hits it again here in 1 John. And he starts in chapter 2, and he keeps coming back to it. He comes back to it, I think, briefly in 2 John. This is important stuff. And every time he goes after our hearts and our attitudes here, there's always a promise at the end of it. There's always a payoff because our Lord is good. He's not like us who would seek to take out your kneecaps because you're getting over on us in some way. He loves us. He bled for us. And at the end of this instruction and exhortation is a payoff. And the payoff is we get our attitudes straight, whatever we ask, He'll give us. When our hearts are right, we're asking not to consume it on our own lust. We're asking to participate in His glory, to get glory for Him, which is to realize and understand that we're created for His pleasure. I just can't get over how good the setup is. The setup is so good. In chapter 2, verse 17, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I was just sitting here scanning the number of times abideth appears on this page, and it's amazing. This is not a concept that was supposed to go away. This is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. I'm just having trouble with seducing spirits, right? People are coming in troubling them with another gospel. The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. And this is the opposite of the accusatory and murderous spirit that wells up in us when we see somebody else prosper and we think we deserve better treatment than we're getting. And behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall be as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Interesting. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. There's this thing, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. In this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Then it goes into Cain. Not as Cain. But, you know, there's still the vine and the branch concept. You got to abide. You just like to. There's no life in the branch. There's no fruit in the branch, except it keeps abiding in the vine. And where you're grafted in, we didn't belong there to begin with. I just thank God that he hasn't dealt with me according to what I deserve. His word is true. And the idea that we'll read out of Philippians the other night. Esteem every man as greater than yourself. That's except chapter 2, it opens with that. But you know what greater conflict I have. I want to be so tightly abiding in him that my conflict is whether or not to stay here for your sake or wanting to be with the Father so bad. I want the conflict to be the separation that I feel between me and him that Paul felt. You know, Jesus had ascended and gone back to sit on the right hand of the Father. He had walked with him. He missed him. He was after everybody else, but he did. He walked with him. And because of that, and that personal instruction he got, he actually missed him. It was the conflict that he was having. He knew he needed to be there for them. But he wanted to be with the Father and Son. I want to have that conflict in me. And it really doesn't make any difference whether you have it in you or not. I wish it did. But I want that oneness, that unity of purpose and mind, not with each other, not that we have unity of mind and purpose with all the other churches out there. We have unity in Jesus and our devotion to his word. The closer I get to that, the more I'm going to have a sense of separation that I want to overcome. I want to overcome that separation. There should be a conflict is at work in all of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We just praise you and pray that you would work in your will and in our hearts, where there is submission, where there is love, where there is a desire to serve you, Lord, you'd meet us. And where there isn't, Father, we'd ask that the testimony of the word and of your love and your grace and your mercy would minister salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.